Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Chapter 8, just the end of verse 42. And as he went, that's Jesus, the crowd thronged him. And a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who, having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone, coming up behind, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" And all the nine, Peter and those with him, said, "Master, the crowds close the inn and press upon thee, and sayest thou, who has touched me?" And Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me." And the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling, and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, "Be of good courage, daughter. Thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace." You know, it's sometimes a help when you're going over some of these incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus, not only to study the words that describe the incident, but in your mind's eye, try and see a picture of the circumstances and see a picture of the main characters involved in the incident. I remember reading a story about a young lad who had his Bible open in front of him. And someone said to him, giving his name, so he says, "What are you reading?" And his reply was, "I'm not reading. I'm just watching Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead." And as we go over this incident of this woman who touched the hem of his garment, I would just like us all, me included, to just picture the scene. Not just the words that said about it, but to picture the scene and to picture the characters in it. In a sense, there's two stories linked together here. Because just before we read about this woman's condition, another story emerges. And the two main characters in these stories are at opposite ends of the society. One is a ruler of the synagogue. He would have respect shown, dignity shown, and he comes with his problem. And his problem is a very human problem, that his little girl is dying. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's this woman, impoverished, riddled with the problem that she has, that's been there for 12 years. And yet the Lord Jesus is able to meet both cases. He's able to meet any case. Did I say that these were the main characters in the story? No, no. The main character in these incidents is a man called Jesus. And I would trust that he would be the main character in this preaching tonight. The man called Jesus. He just returned from the country of the Gadarenes. They didn't want him there. They urged him, they pleaded with him to depart from the country. Had his visit there been worthwhile? He'd endured the storm. Had it been worthwhile? Only one soul apparently got blessing. Friend, if one soul got blessing, his journey to the country of the Gadarenes was certainly worthwhile. And if one soul in this whole world tonight gets blessing through the preaching of the glad tidings concerning Jesus, the message will have been worthwhile. Driven out of one country, and he comes, before we started to read, he returned and the crowd received them gladly. What would my reception be of the Lord Jesus tonight? And immediately he's confronted by this ruler of the synagogue with the problem concerning his child. And as he goes to meet that problem, another problem comes his way. And you know, he would have been expecting both of these problems to come to him. Let's go back 12 years on this woman's history. One day, 12 years ago, she discovered that something was wrong in her body. And sometime around the same time, in another house, wherever this was, a little girl was born. At the same time, perhaps the same year, as this woman's problem started. Joy in one house, grief, anxiety, worry in another. And to just amplify this a little, what this woman's condition involved. If you went back and looked in the books of Moses, the book of Leviticus, in chapter 15, you would find what the effects of this woman's condition was. That it meant that whatever she touched became unclean. And whatever anybody else touched that she had touched became unclean. And if anyone touched her, they became unclean. What's the conclusion? That gradually, in fact, probably immediately, she was dissociated from all around her. She was ostracized in society until she was cured. And for 12 years, she had sought a cure. You just imagine that. Awakening day after day, week after week, year after year. Would it be the day that I'll find that cure, that I'll be healed? On the other hand, there's another house, and there's a little girl growing up, bringing joy to her family, Jairus' daughter. But this woman, just think of her condition. She tried this doctor. She tried another doctor. And you know, it's a fact that each one of us, when we have a problem, whether it's physical, whether it's moral or spiritual, we often try to work out the solution ourselves. This doctor, that doctor, when the only person that can really meet the need is the man was the central figure of this story, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can meet any need. But you know, often we think that we can answer the problem ourselves rather than take it to the one who has the resource to answer the problem immediately. And so this woman's history goes on. She goes to one doctor and another, and where we read it says, having spent all her living on physicians, each physician charging her, offering a remedy that didn't work. And the years went by. And now Mark, in another gospel, tells the same story. But he tells us about her, that it says, having heard the things concerning Jesus. Ah, there was something beginning to dawn in this woman's story, in this woman's life. What would she have heard? Would she have heard that this person had healed the leper? Would she have heard that he entered Simon Peter's house and removed the fever from his mother-in-law? Would she have heard that he had given sight to the blind and healing to the deaf? Would you have heard they'd met a widow from the city of Nain and brought her son to life. Anyhow, she heard the things concerning Jesus. And here he is, within her grasp. What? He's been thronged. The crowds are thronging him all around. How would she get near him? Would she venture near him? She was unclean. Would somebody pick her out and say, you shouldn't be here? It says that having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone. There's two persons in Luke's Gospel that spend all that they have. This woman and the young man, the young prodigal son in Luke 15. They spent everything. But eventually, they had to come to Christ in the woman's case and in the young man's case to the place of repentance. And they discovered they didn't need to spend any more. She had nothing to give to this physician that Luke describes here, to the Lord Jesus. She was penniless. She was destitute. Her case was so different from the case that the ruler of the synagogue brought. She was destitute. She couldn't even face him, because it says further down, coming up behind, she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately a flux of blood stopped. I think this is very interesting. The hem of his garment. I've referred to Leviticus 15, where you'll find the detail of the woman's situation. But in another one of Moses' books, Numbers, chapter 15 or 16, you find that at the corner of the Israelites' garment, there was to be a tassel. And on that tassel was to be placed a lace of blue. And as far as I understand, looking into the story a little, this woman touched the hem of his garment, but it's more than just a touch. She grasped the tassel of blue, and discovered that this person with the tassel of blue, this person was from another place altogether. He was different from the doctor she'd met. He was a physician who had come from heavenly glory in order to meet the need of sin-sick man. And it says, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately a flux of blood stopped. I'll just divert a little. The hem of his garment. You know, one of the Psalms speaks of the brethren dwelling together in unity, but it speaks of the oil pouring down from the head, over Aaron's beard, down to the hem of his garment. When Saul of Tarsus went after the believers in Damascus, he was really after the hem of his garment. Because if you're here tonight as a believer, as I am, you form part of that hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus says to Saul of Tarsus, why are you touching me? Why are you persecuting me? Saul didn't know he did know he was, but his venom was out against the believers. And they formed part of the hem of his garment. That's just a little by the side. Who has touched me, the Lord Jesus said. She touched the hem of his garment. He says, who's touched me? I wonder if you've touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus. You've had a need. A need as a sinner, as we all have. How are we going to get rid of that need? To come to Christ. To touch him. That's the only way. Because he went to Calvary's cross, who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree. Yes, to be well informed and to know all the stories of the gospel is one thing. But to touch him something else. There he was, throng, the throng all busy around him, and no doubt some were brushing against him. Does he turn and say to anybody else who has touched me? No. You will know, I will know if we touch him. And he knows as well. It says, Peter says, look, Master, the crowd's close on me. Press on me and says, who has touched me? And Jesus said, someone has touched me. Oh, dear friend, isn't it beautiful that you may be just a number or just a passing name in the census of this country, but to the Lord Jesus, you are a someone. Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me. Two persons in that crowd, and we don't know how many there were, I would think it would be a fairly large crowd. Two persons knew about this transaction. The woman, because the problem she carried for 12 years was gone in a moment. And the Lord Jesus knew that there was a needy soul there, and in her faith she had touched him. First of all, the test of her faith. That's what she was faced with. Will I go? Will I venture? Or will I let him pass by? I think it's in another gospel. If I but touch, she says, if I but touch the hem of his garment. Dear friend, how vital is the Lord Jesus to you? Is it an if only? If I but? Oh friend, put the ifs aside and come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Touch him for reality between you and him and find that your condition as a sinner, your condition as someone with a need, can be healed and met immediately by the one who went not only sojourned in the world here, but went to Calvary's cross to meet your need and mine. That was the test of her faith. She overcame that test. And what followed next was the touch of faith. Oh, that I would have the courage of this woman to touch the Lord Jesus by faith and know the experience of, out of his resources, receiving something from him. John says, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. What resource is in the person of the central figure in the story? For I have known that power has gone out from me. And I think this is the beautiful bit that's coming up. She came behind him in her humility. And you could read in her countenance how stricken she was in her health. And she didn't want to make a fuss like a whole lot of other people. But she touched him from behind. She reached out and touched that garment. Was healed. Ah, but to come into the fullness of blessing, you need to look at the face of Jesus. Coming up behind and getting the blessing is one thing. A woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him, declared before all the people of what cause she had touched him and how she was immediately healed. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This was confession time. This was the point when not only would she know that she was healed, but she would have the joy of meeting the healer, the joy of meeting Christ face to face. He came trembling, falling down, declared before all the people. I can read into the story that this would have been a very reserved woman because of her condition. But there she was, making a confession. And what was her confession if we transfer it to this gospel preaching? She was confessing that she was a sinner before God, but she'd come to the person of Christ, and he only had the ability and resource to remove her sins completely. Have you had that experience? Have I had that experience? To prove the preciousness of the work of Christ at Calvary's cross, and to prove that the shed blood of Calvary is all that's needed for the removal of my sins. What did he say to her? He said to her, "Be of good courage, daughter. Thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace." Ah, not now a trembling person, but the words of Jesus, the words of the Lord Jesus, giving her courage, giving her strength, the test of faith met, the touch of faith enacted, now the triumph of faith. Go in peace. Go on the blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior and friend, and forming part of the hem of his garment. You know, if somebody came in that door tonight, what would they receive if they touched you, if they touched me? I know that I'm extending this and there's no way that we would produce healing like this one. But would they get that touch of life, that touch of power that would set them on the way to making a personal transaction with the Lord Jesus themselves? Well, that was my simple word. That like this woman, we might touch him, and as touching him might prove not only that our condition of as a sinner has been removed, but we are sent on our way enjoying the peace of heaven, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. May be the portion of all. May God bless you.